Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
In an op-ed published yesterday in the Wall Street Journal, President Trump and Secretary of Housing and Urban Development Ben Carson vowed to protect the suburbs from what they call the, quote, chaos in Democrat-run cities. Suburban voters went for Trump in 2016, but polls show them favoring former Vice President Joe Biden this year. In an attempt to win them back, President Trump has stoked anxieties about crime and low-income housing that many have called racist. Derek Thompson is staff writer at The Atlantic. He joins us from Washington, as he does each Monday. Hi, Derek.
Hey, Jeremy.
Well, President Trump has said he's going to win suburban housewives, which seems like an outdated term to begin with. But what is his pitch to people in the suburbs?
Trump's pitch to the suburbs is basically his pitch to every support group. There is an invading army at the gates, and only I can keep them out. So first, it was the Mexicans. He was going to build a wall. And then it was the Muslims. He proposed a complete and total shutdown on Muslim immigration. And now it's poor people. He's telling suburban residents that he's doing everything that he can to keep low-income, more diverse, and allegedly more dangerous people out of the suburbs. So in this op-ed that you just read from, he says, and I quote, "The Obama-Biden dystopian vision of building low-income housing units next to your suburban house," end quote. The dystopia he's talking about is living near people who earn less money than you. He's trying to spin it up as a nightmarish vision, but in many ways I think that, as with previous attacks, even though he is physically in the year 2020, he is reconjuring fears of the 1970s.
Well, and many have called this pitch about the suburbs racist. But when we talk about the suburbs right now, politically and demographically, they are different than they used to be. The suburbs were 2/3 white as of the 2010 census, down from 81% the decade before. And since then, they've diversified even more. Tell us about how the suburbs are changing right now.
That's exactly right. These aren't the suburbs of the 1970s. If you sort of took a snapshot of the suburbs in, you know, the middle of the 20th century, you would say that this is basically where the majority of white people are living. And now they've become more diverse and they've become more democratic leaning. And you could argue that the first thing is causing the second thing, that as the suburbs have become more ethnically diverse, they've also moved considerably to the left. And you can look at the polling from the last 16 years. Bush in 2004 won the suburbs by 5 points. Trump in 2016 won the suburbs by only 2 points. And now in recent polling, he seems to be down an average of 15 points in the suburbs. So, you know, this is a demographic story that Trump is clearly responding to. He's afraid, and in this case, I absolutely agree with him, that if he does lose the American suburbs, he has no chance of winning the 2020 election.
And what about the idea that he puts forth in the Wall Street Journal op-ed that people are fleeing cities because of crime? Doesn't that ignore, first of all, trends that have been going on for many years, that people are fleeing cities because they've gotten more expensive? But now, because of the pandemic, a lot of people are fleeing cities because they can. They can work wherever they want. They don't have to be in the office in a city. Maybe they want more space for their family.
Yeah, that's exactly it. I think there's 2 points to say here. The first is that there are trends of people leaving dense downtown urban areas for the last few years, way before you had any semblance of a pandemic in the U.S. That's number one. You know, people have been moving to the suburbs of the Sun Belt for several years, if not several decades. The second thing that's really important to say, though, and Zillow just came out with a report that verifies this, Americans aren't quite fleeing cities yet. They are, yes, leaving San Francisco and New York, very expensive cities where you don't have a lot of affordable housing, but they're just moving to other cities, or at least to other metros. They're moving to Boise. They're moving to Austin. They're moving to Atlanta. And so this isn't so much a trend of the end of cities. It's really more like a trend where people are leaving expensive coastal areas and moving to the metros of the Sun Belt. But again, that goes right back to the first point. They were doing that in 2017, 18, 19, way before the pandemic. So, you know, this is a part, as with so much of COVID-19, an acceleration of pre-existing trends, not an invention of some new trend.
Based on what you've said about the polling, it doesn't sound like this pitch to win back suburban voters is working. Do you see that changing between now and Election Day?
I don't. I think Trump is trying to pitch this to a vision of the suburbs that no longer exists. He's criticizing an Obama-era rule that was basically all about verifying the 1968 Fair Housing Act and making sure that various suburbs were building enough housing for all income residents. You know, that was an Obama-era rule. It was an early goal of the Trump administration. And now Trump is referring to that goal as dystopian. But I have to say, if more housing for low-income minorities is your idea of dystopia, then frankly, I don't want any part of your utopia. We have to find a way to live together. And step one of that process is building enough housing for everybody.
That is Derek Thompson, staff writer at The Atlantic. Derek, thanks as always.
Thank you.